This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
But on a much lighter note, what I think should be a really fun season coming up, Five Stripes. I think they're back, baby, with some of the offseason acquisitions that we'll talk to our next guest on the WadeFord.com hotline, Jason Longshore. Jason, I am pumped for this season to get underway. First of all, explain this one to me. The other day, because I came on right after, you essentially did something that I didn't know was possible, where two teams decided to say, hey, you want to just play another 45 minutes? And they were like, okay. And so they did. And you called 175,000 minutes of football.
Yeah, it's crazy. Ronnie Dyla mentioned it to the media on Thursday before that. He said that when I asked him about the game and kind of what he was looking for out of it, he's like, we're going to play three halves. And I'm like, what? How is that possible? What is that? I thought they're going to play like three 30-minute segments, which happens in preseason sometimes. It allows you to make, you know, wholesale subs if you want to, those sorts of things. But the reasoning that Ronnie and the Dallas manager, Eric Quill, made in this, it makes sense. You know, they both have pretty deep squads. They wanted to, the last week of preseason, get everybody on the same page in terms of minutes played. They didn't want to play the starters for 70 minutes, which is about what both teams did in this game, and then have guys that you're going to need off the bench in the opener and early in the season. I didn't want them to be behind on fitness. So both teams agreed to it. They kind of pump faked this on having a second halftime. They did about 5 minutes and then switched guys over, so it was a little chaotic. But Jared Smith and I called 135 minutes of soccer. We called a goal in the 133rd minute. I've never seen that, or probably will never again.
Yeah, that's something you can add on to your highlight reel. Something that you'll remember for all time. All right, it's been a really busy, active offseason, from new coaching hires to new talent being brought in. Summarize it for us as we head into match one.
A lot of highlights. I think there's some moves that are maybe right underneath the surface that are going to be really important too, but look, you add two players in Miguel Almiron and Latte Lat, and you're talking about over $30 million in expenditure. A large amount of salary will go out to those two players as well. The way that this league is structured, you know, when you spend that kind of money on designated players, you need that kind of production. And there's going to be pressure on Miguel and Latte Lat as well, because they're going to, along with Alexi Maranchuk, who I think both of them make Alexi better, and with Saba Lobjanidze, who's just a rock-solid, you know, nonstop runner, bleeds for the team, everything that you want in that kind of a player, he gives it to you. That's your attack. That's your attacking quartet, and it's as good as anybody in the league, even including the pink team down in Fort Lauderdale. It's that good. It's very different than that team. It's not as old. It's much faster. Maybe not quite as skilled as a guy who could be the best to ever play the game in Lionel Messi, but you look at the durability of that group that you would expect. You look at the just out-and-out speed of that group, especially with Latte Lat and with Almiron. You look at the ability to defend high up the field, and that's going to be such a key factor for this team. We often talk in soccer about separating the attackers and the midfield and the defense. The way that Ronnie Dyla wants this team to play, the attackers better defend as well as the defenders. And it's about where they're doing it. You want to be disruptive to the opponent. You don't want to let them build up the play cleanly. And you want to force some turnovers in the attacking half. And Latte Lat, Almiron, Saba are three guys who kind of thrive in those situations. So I like the building blocks. Don't forget about the addition of Mateusz Klich, though. I think he's going to be really, really vital to this team. He's essentially another designated player because he's listed as that for DC United. They're in a rebuild. They were willing to let him go for basically nothing. You bring him in, and you add him in that midfield with Bartosz Ślisz. You're talking about, in my opinion, with the attacking, with the starting lineup. Let's just go with that. You're talking about guys in Almiron, Maranchuk, Saba, Klick, Amador, and Lennon. Six players who are all capable of double-digit assists. Chances will not be a problem for this team. It's about putting them away, and that's why you bring in a guy like Latte Lat to score, hopefully, in the 20 goals a season kind of range.
You mentioned the new manager, Dyla, there. Why him? What is it? What about him and his coaching style and his temperament was the right decision for this club?
I like that he's got three league titles in three different parts of the world. You know, in the Norwegian league with a definite underdog sort of team, with a favorite in Celtic in Scotland that you're supposed to win with, and he did, and with New York City. Here in MLS, so he's got that MLS experience as well, and I don't think he had the most talented team that time around. I think they were kind of in the middle of being a serious underdog, like his Norwegian league title, and being an absolute clear-cut favorite, like his Scottish league title. So he can adapt, and that's what I like about him. He has things that he wants his team to be. He has those principles that he wants his team to play with, and I think a lot of it is going to revolve around nonstop effort, nonstop intensity on and off the ball. Those are non-negotiables. But I think he can adapt to the pieces that he has. And in the attack, especially, I think there's going to be a lot of questions of him about, you know, what about Almiron on the right side? Or what about him playing in the middle? Or if he's on the right and he's in the middle, what does that do? And what if he's on the left? And Saba moving around too? Like, don't worry about that. I think he's going to give the players in the attack the ability to have freedom, to create, to go find the game. The flip side and the trade-off of that is when the ball turns over, immediate defensive pressure and organization. So he's going to, in my opinion, be very clear with the players, very fair with the players. You're going to be able to play your game when we have the ball. Yes, we want to space the field out. Yes, we want to do certain things, but game dictates for Almiron, for example, to cut through the middle because that's where he sees the open space. Take it. Go put a goal in the back of the net. Go create a goal for somebody else. But when the ball turns over, my trade-off for you is I expect every single ounce of energy you have to be put into winning the ball back high up the field. And if the players do that and the players perform the way that they're all capable of, this is a team that can win MLS Cup.
Wow, that's a bold proclamation right there. We'll follow up on that in just a bit as we're talking with our good buddy Jason Longshore here, analyst for Atlanta United on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Before we get into that and the expectations of the club, when Garth Lagerwey takes a step back and looks at this roster top to bottom, how close do you think it is to what he envisioned putting together when he first came here?
I think it's pretty close. I don't think there's any real area of massive concern. You've got depth. You know, Dyla has mentioned in preseason that he's happy that he's got, you know, over 22 guys, you know, that are all capable and have all gotten minutes in preseason. You know, you put together a second 11, it's very good and it's got a good bit of experience. I think he's pretty happy with what he has to work with. And I think, you know, beyond just the talent level and the depth, I think he's got the right mix of personalities, and that's always the hardest part. You know, you can go see a talented player and you can go spend the money to sign him, but fitting the right talented players together in harmony. And look, you were talking about it before, you know, I'm with you on Kirk Cousins at this point. That could be a distraction in the locker room. Forget his ability as a quarterback. That can be a distraction, what he said, how he's handled things, and you don't want that to be an issue for the team coming together. Same with soccer. You got to have the right personalities, and I think you do with a guy like Almiron, who is a leader by example, a guy like Latte Lats, who is just, I think he's, you just see him and you're like, he's going to be a guy who fits in. You've got guys like Sean De Silva, who just put the locker room at ease. You've got the vocal leaders like Brad Kazan, Derek Williams. It's a really good mix of personalities. And I think that's that underrated element that's so hard to get. And when you get it, you have to protect it. And I think this is the right group of people to do it. And Dial is the right guy to lead them.
All right, so you mentioned before you think this team has the chance to compete for the ultimate prize. Where do they stack in the pecking order right now in terms of the entire MLS, and who are the clubs that you think they'll be competing with towards the end of the campaign?
Let's go over to the West real quick. I think Seattle's the best team in the West. I think they're the best balanced team. A lot of talk about LAFC, a lot of talk about LA Galaxy, who are the defending champs. The Galaxy are missing their, I think, most important player in Ricky Pooch, who tore his ACL in the conference final last year. So maybe he's back late this season. Unlikely. Marco Royce can play that position and do really well, but he's a little bit older. Can he hold up over a whole season? Can he play the level that Ricky did last season? I don't know. They also swapped number 9, Dejan Jovic. He goes to Kansas City. They brought Christian Ramirez in, a couple years older. Can he hold up? We'll have to see. LAFC, I don't think they're better. I think they're worse than they were last year. I think selling Mateus Bogus to Cruz Azul in Mexico, our old friends who purchased Yorgos Giakoumakis, I think that hurts them. I don't think it makes them any better. I think Seattle added. I think they're very deep. I think they are very well balanced. I think they're the best team in the West. But in the East, I think Miami and Atlanta are better. And, you know, it's hard to say that Atlanta is worse than Miami because they beat them in the playoffs last year and now they have a better team. But it's also hard to say that Miami isn't the favorite because of what they did in the regular season last year, or they were the best team ever in Major League Soccer history. I kind of look at it as a little bit of a 1A and 1B situation. In the East, I think Cincinnati, especially with adding Evander from Portland, they did sell Lucho Acosta. I don't think Evander is at the same level as Lucho. I think Cincinnati is a step back from that top tier. I think the Red Bulls are the closest team to the top tier in the East. They got to stay healthy. They were a far different team with Emil Forsberg as their number 10 than when they didn't have him, and he missed most of the season, but he was there at the beginning and he was there leading them to MLS Cup and losing to the Galaxy. The Red Bulls are pretty close. So I would say your top three in the East are Miami, Atlanta, and Red Bulls. I think Seattle is the team out West that can win it all. There could be moves that change that, especially in the summer, but that's what I'm looking at right now. It's three teams that have a legit stake at winning MLS Cup, and it's Seattle, it's Miami, and it's Atlanta.
All right, Jason, appreciate the time as always. I think there's as much buzz going into this season as there has been in a long time, and we'll be riding the wave with you all season long. You and Mike Conte on the calls. We'll talk soon.
It'll be very exciting. Thanks for having me on.